Thank the Lord this evening for His love and His blessings to us. It is our interest in your prayers that the Spirit of God would continue to bless the service tonight. I've been richly blessed tonight by the anointing in the songs, and very thankful for each one that has come out. I know there's a number of miles that have been driven from different ones here, and I trust the Lord will bless you with His presence tonight. Does anybody know what time it is? You know what time it is? It's about, everybody's afraid to say, it's 7:35 or thereabouts. Most of our lives are regulated by time. Most of us live our lives based upon the hands of the clock. What time we get up, what time we go to bed, what time we start school, what time we go to work, what time we came to service tonight. Time. It's time to get up. I don't have time to go do that. Well, it's too late. We're too far down the road. We don't have time to turn around and go back and get what we forgot. We don't have time. Time, by definition, is a measurable period during which an action or process or condition exists. In other words, it's time is used to fix the duration of something. This span. Some of you might recognize time maybe a little bit better as distance divided by velocity. But time has meaning to each and every one of us. Time is divided up in different ways. The Scripture speaks about time in the book of Ecclesiastes in the 3rd chapter. And before we read this, the title of the message tonight is when, and Renee, if you'd write on the board for me, is when time meets eternity. What we understand as time, there's going to come a time that is going to meet eternity. Now the Scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes in the 3rd chapter, in the 1st verse, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Our lives are based on time. Those of you that are in school, you say, well, what time is it? You say, well, I'm in high school, and you are looking for the season or the time that you're out of school. Some of you that are younger and haven't gotten to that driving age yet, your time, you're looking for when I get out of this time, and it's the time that I can start driving. I will say getting your driver's license isn't the answer to all your problems. But it is something that when you're young, you tend to look forward to. But it's a duration. I'm in school now. Well, now I'm getting maybe some further education, or I started work. Maybe it's time of marriage. There's a season. We talk about those that are young. We talk about children. We talk about middle age. When your children are starting to, they've grown up and they're starting to go out on their own. That's a time of life. And then people begin to anticipate many times. They begin to look forward to when they can retire. This is the time of life. I don't have to get up and go to work again in the morning. And I'm a little bit freer in what I have to do. All of us are in different times of life tonight. Some of you young folks are in a time of life that you are making some of the most important decisions that you will ever make. And it seems like God has given us, when we are younger, the capacity to make decisions that are going to change the course of the rest of our life. There's a time and a season and a purpose. Here in this part of the country, and I know some parts of the world, they don't have 4 seasons. But that, to a large extent, is how we measure it too. We're in a period of fall now. Isn't it nice? Yeah. I'm thankful to be out of the summer months. I'm thankful to be going into fall. It's a different season. It's a different time. And some people look forward to winter. If you don't like fall, winter's coming. And if you don't like winter, spring is going to come. If God tarries his coming, there's going to be a change. The things that are in your life tonight are not going to stay the same. There's a season, and there is a time to everything. That's the reason why David said in Psalms 90, in verse 12, very familiar passage, his prayer was, he said, so teach us.
Yes.
To number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Yes. Teach us to number our days. Now the scripture also talks about redeeming the what? Redeeming the time. In other words, take advantage of this season of your life. I remember when I was in high school and I was looking forward so much to be done with it. And then I went to college, and after the first 2 years, I was like, I just want this to be over. I'm ready to get done. I'm ready to finish this up. Do you know that looking back at those younger years, I wish I would have had either the understanding or the maturity or the life experience at that young age to be able to have learned to enjoy the season before the responsibilities of adulthood. Before all the, you know, I still didn't have to pay, I didn't have the responsibilities of a wife and children, the bills, and those are wonderful seasons of life, and yet there's a responsibility that goes with it, aren't there? Well, are you numbering your days tonight? Do you think that everything is always going to be just like it is tonight? Because it's not. You young folks, it seems like school will never get done. You're going to be finished before you know it. So I'd encourage you to apply yourself to your studies. Keep working hard. Redeem the time. But all of us, life is moving very quickly. And the older that you get, it seems like the faster that it goes. We have an elderly sister in the congregation, and she was in her late 90s. And she told me one time, she said, it seems like God literally has his finger on the clock and he's just spinning it faster and faster and faster. Lord, teach us to number our days tonight. Because our lives are so regulated by time. But in this meeting, as I frequently do in meetings, I like to get away and I like to meditate and pray. And I'll tell you one of my go-to places. It's a cemetery. I've been there in the cemetery in Guthrie multiple times this week. And I wonder what stories would come out of that place. I know quite a few people that are buried there. And I looked around and I began to think about some of the stories. And you know, there were some of the stories that their name was there and their dates of birth and their date of death. And then there's that little hyphen in between it. You know, there's a lot in that hyphen. There's a lot of living that goes on between our day of birth and our day of death. And there's a lot of stories. And some of those stories warmed my heart because I knew the end of the story.
Yes.
They had lived for God. They had taken the time that they had and they had served the Lord and put Him first in their life. And I was sitting in the car and I was meditating and I was thinking about that. And then I looked down the row of stones and it brought tears to my eyes when I saw those that did not choose to serve the Lord.
Yes.
And it wasn't all people in their 80s and 90s. There's children. There's teenagers. There's young adults. There's young parents that did not use the time that they had to make their peace with God. Young people,
I want to tell you something. Time is going to go really quick.
Yes, that's right.
And the decisions that you are making tonight,
yes,
are going to have eternal consequences in eternity where there is no watch. There is no measurement of time in eternity. We all have a story to tell tonight, don't we? We have a story to tell. But I have seen and been witness. I've seen how sin has ravished people's lives.
Yes.
I've seen the destruction that sin brings in young people's lives. I've seen the heartache. And I've seen the brokenness. And I've seen the relationships that have been severed because of what sin did. And I would tonight that all those in that cemetery could come back and tell their story tonight and say, you know what? There is a place when time and eternity are going to meet.
Yes.
Use the time wisely and use it to prepare to meet God.
Yes.
Because it is of a surety tonight that Jesus Christ is going to come back. And how we have used this short amount of time on this earth is going to determine our eternal destiny.
Yeah.
Life, the scripture says in the book of James, it says it's like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. What story do you have to tell tonight? You know, your story, and I'm thankful for this, your story is not over tonight. But if you are not clear in your soul, and you are not ready to meet God and stand before the Lord, don't expect there to be a whole lot of difference tomorrow than what it is tonight, as far as your spiritual preparation. The reason the Lord sends meetings like this, the reason why the Lord gives protracted, prolonged invitation, is because He doesn't want any of us to perish. But do not think that I can go out, if you're young, I can go out and sow my wild oats, and when I get ready, and when I have the time, when I think I'm going to take the time now to get ready with God, it rarely works that way. I don't believe most people don't get up in the morning and they say, this is the day that time is going to be over for me. This is the day that I'm going to die today. How many young people, you pick up, you read the news. All of you here tonight probably know, from children to young people to old middle-aged to old people, that have gone out suddenly into eternity. Where time is no longer counted. They didn't know that that was their last day. We need to live tonight. We need to live every day and every moment as if it were our last moment. Because one day it will be. Does anyone here know exactly when you're going to die? When time is going to be over for you and your story will be told. And the conclusion will be there. Do any of us know when that's going to be?
Lord.
I don't tonight. Lord, help. Jesus is going to come back.
Yes.
In the book of Mark, in the 13th chapter. Mark chapter 13 in the 32nd verse. He said, but of that day, that hour, the day the Lord's going to come back, it said, knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. The time that everything's going to be over. The time is when the last chapter comes to a close and it's final. The time when there is no more opportunity to pray. The time when there are no more revival meetings. The time when your parents will not plead with you with tears in their eyes. You need to get ready to meet God. You need to turn your life around. There's going to come a time where that's over. There's going to come a time for those of you that might have been rejecting the Lord day after day and year after year. When is the convenient time? Convenient times rarely come.
And the Lord Jesus taught us. He said, I don't even know when Father's going to send me back. He said, so you need to watch and pray, because when the Jesus comes back, it's going to be suddenly. It's going to be without warning. It's not like the Lord's going to send out a text message and say, I'm coming tonight.
Have mercy, Lord.
Is it fair to ask us tonight how it would change our lives if we all start hearing beams across? See, you didn't turn your phone off, but you got the message. If the Lord said, I'm coming back tonight. Tonight, is it? Time is over. And I'm going to come back. How would it change this revival meeting?
Amen.
We could sit here and say, Brother Michael, just leave me alone. We're going to do business with God.
Yes.
And that we need to take advantage of this time, because one day there will be no more meetings.
Yeah, that's right.
There's not going to be. We could say, well, I just want a few minutes. If I knew the Lord was going to come back, I would just want to cry out and say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I know so many that are taking care of their funerals.
Yes.
They didn't have time to pray. They didn't have time to say, Lord, have mercy. They didn't have time to say, I'm sorry. This is the time tonight that the Lord, one more time, in His love and in His mercy, He's saying, I want you to remember, time is not always going to be. And I'm going to come back unexpectedly. And what will your story be? Because when Jesus comes back, your story is told. It's over. It's final. There's no changing it. The Lord's going to come back as a thief. In the book of Hebrews, in the 9th chapter, in the 27th verse, Hebrews 9:27, it says, And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this what? The judgment.
Yeah.
It's an appointed. How many of y'all go to appointments late? Well, I need to be there at 8, but you know what? Whatever, they can wait on me. And you show up at 8:10, 8:15, 8:30. You know, it's not really responsible to show up to appointments late.
Right.
However, it happens. But there is coming a time, and there is tonight an appointment that each one of us have.
Yeah.
And none of us are going to be late to that appointment. Life and death is in the hands of God tonight. And we're not going to be late to that appointment. It's appointed. Now, do you realize you have an appointment with death tonight? You have an appointment when time is going to be no more.
Yes.
Are you prepared for that appointment? Because at the point of death is the time.
Yes.
When time and eternity meet. Is at the point of death. Because eternity is time without end. And time without end means there is no time. Do you know that people so often, I think about those that you read about that were in captivity or put in jail or a camp of some kind, and you read about them putting marks on the wall. Y'all have heard about people doing that. Or put a notch in the stick, or put something there because they were keeping track of time.
Yes.
Because there was hope in their life. You know, I've been here a month. I'm going to mark it every day, but at least I'm further down, and maybe next year. You see, time has a way of bringing hope. When you are really sick, it seems like it's worse in the darkest of night sometimes, doesn't it? But then the morning comes. And then many times people say, I'm just dreading the night. I'm dreading the night. Do you know it's changing? Marking time gives hope. But eternity is when there's not going to be any marking of time anymore. That means things are going to be as they are. There's no hope that, well, maybe I'll be doing better or I can make a change. Folks, when we die, time stops.
Yes.
And eternity begins, and by definition, there is no end to eternity. There are no do-overs. There are no second chances. There is no opportunity to make a change. When time and eternity meet, for those that love the Lord in 1 Thessalonians, and for the sake of time tonight, we're not going to read it all, but
In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, 16th and 17th verse, it's talking about the Lord coming back and receiving His children. And it says, there's a phrase in there that says, we which live and remain will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, did you get how long we're going to be with the Lord? It says forever. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Do you know tonight that none of us need to fear death?
Thank the Lord.
I was driving a long day. It's like, thank the Lord, I am not afraid of dying. I don't want the dying process doesn't look real good. But I'm not afraid to die. You know why? Not because of what I've done, but because of the blood of Jesus that has been applied to my life. Because I opened up my heart and said, Lord, I want to be saved and I want to follow You and I want to please You in the days, in the time that You have given me. I want every day to count for God.
Yes.
Tonight, if every day is not counting for God, you are not ready to stand before God. But it's going to come to an end. Well, those that are ready to meet the Lord and are saved are going to be forever in eternity with the Lord. And we can look forward to that. We're going to be in heaven with God. And it's not just a place of, you know, I know I phrase it this way often, but we're not just going to be spirits floating out there. After the judgment, there is quality of life. There is a new heaven and there is a new earth. And we're going to be reigning there with Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. Far better than anything that we can imagine in this life. All of the wonderful places of creation, our minds are not big enough to comprehend the wonderful place that God has provided for us. I want to go. But to get there, to live with Him in eternity forever, we're going to have to use our time tonight, today, tomorrow, next week, and say, Lord, I choose You. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1:9 said, there shall be those who shall be punished with everlasting. You know what everlasting means? Without end. Those that are not saved will be punished with everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. When time meets eternity, eternity is going to start for you, but there will be no end. Are you ready for that tonight? Are you ready for the time where there will be no end? The scripture also talks about those many examples in the New Testament talked about hell is a place of fire. It's a place of torment. It's a place where there is no hope. It is a place, it says, where the worm never dies. It is a place without love. It is a place without care. It is a place without compassion. It is a place where there's no reprieve. But I believe one of the worst things in hell is going to be the memories of what could have been, but I chose to use my time to live after the flesh rather than serving God. And we're going to remember, I believe there's going to be a list in people's minds, and the scripture doesn't spell it out, if you'll give me a little liberty, but it said to remember. I believe that hell is going to be a place of remembrance. Without hope, without anticipation of anything better, without looking at your watch or your clock or your phone and saying, well, 1 hour down, how many more to go? 1 hour down means nothing in eternity. 80 years, 100 years means nothing. It's a drop in the bucket when compared to eternity. Why are we so focused tonight on the things of this life when the Lord wants us to be using our lives to glorify Him and serve Him? It's a better way to live anyway.
Yes.
It's a better way to serve Him in this life.
Amen.
But we need to remember we're going to meet eternity. And as much and as true as there is a heaven, there is a hell where there is eternal separation from anything that is good.
And those that have in their mind that eventually mom and dad are still going to be there. I know they love me, and I may be being a rebellious teenager. I may be rebellious to the those in the congregation. I may be rebellious against God. But in the back of the mind, there's something that thinks that they're still going to be waiting there if I decide to go back. There's going to come a time where your parents will not be there for you. There's going to come a time where God will not be there for you because He's going to honor your decision. And that is when time and eternity meet. Isn't this serious? Why are so many playing games as if this isn't real? It is real. And there's a lot of stories that could come from eternity tonight and say, please listen. This is real. John saw a vision where all of the dead stood before God and He judged them out of the book of life. Is your name in the book of life tonight? We sang the song, I know my name is there. Do you know that your name is there tonight? If there is sin in your life, your name is not there. If there are areas in your life that you have been living a subpar spiritual life, not according to the church, but according to God's Word, according to the Holy Spirit's dealings in your life, you are not ready for time to meet eternity. I don't want to stand before God with a questionable life. I want to stand before God, and when I die, I want to live in such a way that my family, my wife, can say there was a man of God. I have seen and I've dealt with people that someone was on their deathbed and the family was concerned about them spiritually. They're not ready to meet God. We know how they act. We know how they live. They're not ready to go out in eternity. And the person closes their eyes and is gone in death. And all of a sudden the family's preaching them right into heaven. Oh, Papa's in heaven. What happened? You know, what we say about someone at any funeral is not going to change anyone's eternal destination. What's your story tonight? Are you prepared to stand before the Lord? Jesus is coming quickly tonight. And you may say, but people have been saying that for 2,000 years. But do you know all of the people from 100 years ago, around that time, do you know they've all gone out into eternity? Time met eternity for them.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if I can't plan on tomorrow, and you can either. If the Lord tarries His coming and does not come back for all of us, He's going to come back for some of us. You could get in a car accident. You can go out into eternity like that. And if it were you tonight, and time met eternity, would you be ready? Would you be prepared?
Yes.
No recourse. No more prayers. It's over. Imagine tonight. It's over. Right now. It's done. As you are right now. We're going to stand before God. No more time to whisper quicker. Okay, if I know that, Lord. No. Right now, as we are young people, children, are you ready to stand before God? Eternity is real.
Yes.
Parents, middle age, older folks, are you ready for time to stop and go out into eternity? Are you prepared? We are going to be judged based on the decisions of our life. There is a song in our book, and you can turn to it if you would, number 409. It is a song entitled Eternity. A place where there's no time. A place where there is no end. This was written by a man by the name of D.O. Teasley. This was a very influential minister. He had a very influential position with the old Gospel Trumpet Company. in the early 1900s. He was a man of much ability and a man of much skill. Thumb through your book and look and see. There, you could just find lots of songs by D.O. Teasley. He said, "I stood at the time-beaten portal where many a pilgrim had passed out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed, and musing in silent devotion, I considered now, I quietly considered eternity seemed to draw near, and the strain from the choir of the faithful I seemed in the fancy to hear, O eternity, long eternity, hear the solemn footsteps. I would that you hear the footsteps of eternity tonight. This man, while he was preaching, and while he was in a very influential, like I said, place, he was unfaithful to his wife. History that just came out recently, by the evidence that they have found in historical records, found that off and on by what I read, that there was at least within a period of 10 years, this man that wrote these wonderful songs and wrote about eternity and how long it is, he wasn't being faithful to his wife, nor was he faithful to God. At the end of his life, he was very far away from God. There is no record that he ever came back to the Lord in a state of repentance. Mm-hmm. No record. Mm-hmm. And at his funeral, his daughter had requested. Now, there are some of the old ministers among us that have said and told this story that D.O. Teasley had requested that the name of God not be mentioned in his funeral. The history that I just read said that his family requested that this song be read. And there was a picture of his tombstone. And you know what it said they had put on his tombstone? When time and eternity meet. I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years. And I thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in his glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit. I would, saved and unsaved alike tonight, that a shudder come over our spirit tonight. When I thought of the fate of the guilty. Right? And he said, and I thought what a moment might cost. While there was time and they didn't repent, I thought what a moment might cost if they would have had one more moment. For eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to the great judgment seat, and I thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. For time, who has laid many millions to slumber in death's silent shade, shall reel at eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb he has made. Eternity is a long time. And I would that you get a little vision tonight. When time stops, there is going to be a crashing of ages because there's no more measurement of time. It comes to an end. And we will be with our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents and all of those going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Time stops and there's going to be a crashing of ages and we're all going to be there at the same time, at the same place. And we are going to stand before a God that is going to judge us based upon the decisions and the choices that we made while
We have time. I'd like to conclude one more passage of Scripture. In Revelation chapter 22. In the 20th verse. He said, "He that testifieth these things, saying, Surely I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus." And prior to John saying that, the Lord's coming quickly. I want to leave us with what he said in verse 10 of this chapter. He said in verse 10, he said, "Seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." What time? Folks, we are standing on the edge of eternity tonight. And I dare say that if you all choose to have a tent meeting next year, there will be some that are here tonight that will have passed into eternity. When time and eternity meet, and that he said, "He that is unjust, Lord, help a shudder to come over our spirit. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." What he was saying was, when time and eternity meet, we are going to be as we are tonight.
Sorry.
We're going to face God like we are right now, unless, while we have time, we say, "Lord, I want to be ready." If we're not ready tonight, this is the invitation that the Lord has given us. Young people, time is going to come to you. It's going to come to you. And if you're not ready, parents, we're concerned about our children, but are we ready? Are we ready for time to come to an end? An eternity meet where it meets eternity? To those that are older, your time is short too.
Yes, it is.
So as we stand, if you'll stand, let's sing number 409. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still." The Lord has extended an invitation this evening to come and prepare our life to meet him. It does not have to be protracted. Tonight, if you are not ready to meet God, you ought to be running to this altar to meet God when time and eternity meet.